Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What up, motherfuckers? It's the Real Ass Podcast. It's your boy, Louis J. Gomez.
Where's my Snake, Real Ass Dude, Ultimate Minority, Joan Jett of Comedy. I got a lot of names.
International Superstar Zach D'Amico.
How you doing, buddy?
He's funny. He's a psycho. He's a real ass dude.
I was double teaming this chick with her husband. Now he's selling coke in heaven.
Are you fucking ready, motherfuckers?
It's the only real podcast left out there.
Whoop whoop!
It's your old pal, the other boy, Zach D'Amico, saying hello and welcome to the Real Ass Podcast. Louis got stuck in a little traffic, so I am holding down the fort today, and I thank you guys for tuning in. I also thank my two guests for being here today from the incredible, wonderful, beautiful Panties in the Mouth podcast. We got Andy Malafarina and Lamar Lee.
Glizzy's up, boys.
Glizzy's up. Dude. What's up?
What's up, Zach?
Patreon.com/BITM. How you doing?
Thank you guys for being here.
Lewis isn't stuck in traffic. He's afraid of us.
Yeah, Lewis is
He's always ducking the panty boys. No Look at the history. Name, he's yeah. always ducking the panty
always,
boys.
Every single time, dude.
It's fucking crazy. Except for those times I did it with him.
Nah, dude, he's afraid of two panty boys.
Oh, yeah.
When it's two panty boys, he's like, I can't handle it. They're too strong.
Yeah, because, dude, you saw that. You remember that clip? We hit him hard with the Yo Mamas when he had the whole crew in here. We hit him hard with the old mamas, and I don't think he recovered.
Well, thank you guys very much for being here. I appreciate you. And I know that you have so much strength in comedy, and you have so much fortitude, and I'm so glad you're here today.
Thank you.
Because we're going to have a great show.
Yeah.
And I thank the ladies in the booth for getting me through a little bitch session outside.
Woo!
I'm a little cranky. Somebody... Woo! I'll announce it here first. Somebody's doing dry January.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's literally crazy. I was just talking.
How do people live in real time?
I was just talking about this on Panties. I was just like, I'm not.
Patreon.com/BITM.
Yeah, or, you know, iTunes, all the websites. Yeah. I was like, also YouTube page, BITM. No, like. I'm not the guy who wakes up and I start shaking and I need a shot of vodka, but I'm just like going to a show or going to. Like anything.
Or after work.
Yeah, or like you're existing and you can, you know, or you've figured out that right balance before you drive. You know what I mean? Like, how do you just not have at least a beer? Yeah. I don't get how people do it.
It's like literally, it's 9 o'clock at night sometimes, and I'm like, I guess I go to bed?
Yeah. No, we did a show at Helium recently, and I was like cornering Rainey in the fucking green room, like, how? How do you be sober? How the fuck does that work? Well, I don't understand it.
Well, somebody, like, he used to be crazy unsober.
Yeah, he used to be, that's his book, On Perks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he used to be, like, the most unsober.
Yeah, I'm just, it's been a long, long... Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
It's the anniversary.
Five days.
It's been a real long, not a whole week.
It's been rough on your boy.
Dude, I can't even imagine.
How are you not? What are you going to do on January 6th?
I'm in D.C.
Dude, you're not going to drink?
You're not going to be able to celebrate Jan 6th?
It's <That's> crazy, dude.
You're it. That's like.
You're there, man. You're in Mecca, and you can't party? Damn, dude, I'm sorry.
Actually, in fact, that's a great segue into plugs since we will be in D.C. this weekend. But let's hear what the Panties in the Mouth boys have going on. Gentlemen.
Check out all of our shit, patreon.com/PITM. You can get in there for a dollar. We got a lot of extra content episodes. We play video games. We play D&D.
Yeah.
We do a bunch of shit. So patreon.com/PITM. Panties in the Mouth is the podcast. And Andy Malafarina on Twitter. I have a music podcast called Drag the Lake and a solo podcast called No More Heroes. Check it out. I love you.
Hell yeah, Lemaire. Yeah.
At everything Andy said. And then at Lemaire Lee on Instagram and stuff. And then also, if you're in Philadelphia today, January 5th, go to City Winery. There's a show there that's pretty sick.
Oh yeah, check that out. Oh, twitch.tv/AndyMalafarina.
Fantastic. Shannon, something? Oh,
today's January 6th.
Yeah, today's January 6th.
Oh.
All right, buddy.
Woo! Where the brews at?
Woo!
Dylan, get us some brews.
Whose house? Our house. Right,
so you heard it here, guys. Lewis and I are going to be in D.C. January 6th and 7th if you want to come on out. If you can prove that you pissed on Nancy Pelosi's desk, we will give you free admission. And listen, hey, we know our fan base. There's no excuse for you not to show up in D.C. on January 6th. We know you all got a ride last time. Other than that, January the 22nd, Catalyst Wrestling will be at the Bell House in Brooklyn.
Let's go.
I think I'm managing like two or three matches. Should be pretty sick. And if you want to bring up Lewis's tour dates real quick. Yeah, so we're going to be in D.C. this weekend at D.C. Comedy Loft. The 12th through the 15th, Lewis will be at Rick Bronson's House of Comedy in Phoenix, Arizona. The 19th through the 22nd, Bloomington, Minnesota. And the Funny Stop in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio. He's got a bunch more dates he's announcing. I know he's got Houston coming up, a bunch of other great cities. And also, if you like the show, GuestDigitalNetwork.com. Use the promo code RAP for a 7-day free trial to not just this show, but all the other great shows on the network. If you like it, keep it. If you don't, go screw. And if you listen to the show on YouTube, iTunes, Stitcher, however you consume it, give it a good review and 5 stars and say some nice things. You know, it would be very nice. One reviewer a month on iTunes, good or bad review, does get a free piece of merch. All right.
Oh.
How you guys doing?
I'm good, dude. How are you? I got to hang out with Kid Rock. That was fucking badass.
Tell me about it, dude.
Oh, yeah.
I went to his damn house. It was wild. It was crazy.
You were allowed in?
Yeah. He let, first off.
He got in the pit, dude. Yeah. He loved someone, and that someone was Kid Rock, a.k.a. Bobby?
Bobby, yeah. My boy Bobby.
Oh, yeah. He's on first date.
Is he a Call Me Bobby guy?
Huh?
Does he say Call Me Bobby?
He shakes his hand. He's like, hey, everybody. Hello. My name is Bobby. That's what he does.
All right.
Howdy.
So what are the circumstances of hanging out with Kid Rock?
What do you mean?
How did it happen? What was it like? I want to know everything.
We're in Zanies, and he came to see Shane, and then...
That clicks.
Yeah. And then he was, like, drinking. He was in. And then we were just hanging, and he was like, y'all got to come over to my house for lunch tomorrow. And we were like, yeah, right. And then he, like, gave us his address, and we were like, I guess we got to go to Kid Rock's house for lunch tomorrow. It was crazy, because he got us the best fucking BBQ I've ever had in my life. He got us, like, we had this deconstructed banana pudding.
I feel like at Kid Rock's house, it's not like the main event, but
he gave you bananas and bread.
Yeah.
What is a deconstructed? Yeah, I'm not gonna let you get past that. What is a deconstructed banana pudding?
It's like a flambéed bananas, wafers, and they're like in a goo.
Wait, did you say flambé?
Flambé.
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 That's awesome.
R.I.P. Falambe.
Dude, he fucking hunts. He had the neck of a, like, the shoulders up of a giraffe in his house. It was like this tall.
Oh shit, really?
Yeah, it was crazy, giraffe? Dude. Yeah, it was wild. You can see it and you're like, no, Toys R Us.
Was he a sick dude?
Yeah, he's the man. He's one of the best dudes. At the beginning of the night, he came out with a watch, and then he told us it was worth $300,000. So then he, towards the end of the night, when he was leaving, he gave the watch to Nate Marshall. He was like, yo, you're black. You'll take this. And he gave it to Nate. And Nate tried to give it back, but he was like, no, you take it. And then Nate looked at him and was like, and he like turned into Schmeagol from Lord of the Rings. Like, no, my precious. And then he handed it around to the girls, and they're like, this is fake. As soon as they handed it to the girls, they figured out it was fake, and they turned it around, and there was a sticker that said Made in China, and we found it on Amazon, and we're like, yo, Kid Rock has torn apart so many friendships that way.
Or
by giving them a fake watch, he's like, $300,000.
Or was that like, that was probably a Kid Rock goof.
Yeah, it was a goof.
He's like, I'm going to fuck with...
He probably has, like, a jar of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a peanut jar full of
fake watches.
Those watches.
Yeah. Well, because you got to think about it.
And like, he plants the seed in the beginning of the night so that everyone's got their eyes on it.
Yeah.
Well, you got to think, anywhere Kid Rock goes, there is a good chance someone in that room is like, oh, fuck, Kid Rock's right there.
Yeah.
And then so he's going to be like, I'm going to give that guy a $300,000 watch. Yeah. Fuck with him. Yeah. He was definitely goofing hard on Nate.
No, dude, it was awesome. It was a good goof. Because, like, why would Kid Rock have a fake watch, you know?
Yeah, but then also, but that, like, that does create, like, a big spectrum of contemplation where you're like, why would he have a fake watch? Also, why would he give me his $300,000 watch?
Tax
and you're
right
like, off. And you got a constant. To just give it to a random opener.
Here you go, Papa Roach. $300,000.
That is definitely helping out the poor.
Yeah.
Now, do you think Shane will now be influenced by Kid Rock and bring a midget on the road to open for him?
Yeah, me and Nate.
Yeah, he's had Nate and LeBaire open for him.
He got 2-3 midgets with him. Me, well, Nate, that's
it. But didn't you use the drum for Kid Rock?
That is true. Oh, yeah, he also had that guy framed. No.
Right. That's sick, man. You were at Zany's, right?
Yeah.
That's super sick. Zany's, congratulations. Yeah. Good for the gig. Fucking, I hope it was a fucking sick time, dude.
Yeah. It was awesome. It was crazy. I went to Raw the next night. That was nice.
Monday oh, really?
Night. Yeah.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Yeah.
You had a fucking time.
Yeah. I had the best time. It was so fun. It's the best New Year's of my life, maybe. Yeah. Yeah, best New Year's.
Sick, dude.
You got to post that. He put it on his story, and there's like a picture of him sitting on the couch looking up at Kid Rock, and LeMaire's just look like, I'm finally meeting my biological father. Like, he had such a fucking glint in his eye. He was so happy.
Yeah, I couldn't wait.
That's also got to be, because Kid Rock's like a fucking character.
Yeah.
He's not like a whole dude. He's a character. Dude, like him on the Woodstock documentary.
No, literally, it's not real. His dad was a real. His dad owned car dealerships. Yeah. None of it's real.
His dad did own car. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He grew up with a tennis court.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, that's how he got that. That's how he got that furred coat that he wore at Woodstock. He borrowed it from his mom.
Yeah, no, none of it's real. It's all that fucking grits for breakfast shit. Nope.
My name is Kid. No. They were saying, yes.
Robert.
One of his guys was saying, like, his dad didn't give him shit. His dad was a big old piece of shit. That's what you're saying about Bobby.
His dad could be a piece of shit. And also, I'm sure if you grow up with tennis courts, you got something. Or at least your dad, like, knew someone. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong. Kid Rock.
Listen, I'm not judging. I will say,
artist.
This is a bold statement. Maybe of a list of less than 10, probably almost less than 5 last great American rock stars.
Yeah, damn, dude.
Mm.
Can you give Kid Rock the real ass dude of the week?
I'm going to think about it.
Well, he did.
So I know that when he does big shows, he plays every instrument on stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Doesn't he do the thing too where he's like, tickets have to be reasonable and beer has to be fucking reasonable. Yeah.
I believe he does. Ralphie did that too.
Yeah, which is like a god. He's a goddamn saint, because I just went to a show over at fucking Asbury Lanes, which is just like, it was a small hardcore. I saw this band called Counterparts. It was a small hardcore show, and like they had 16-ounce beers, and they were like $12. Mm. It's fucking crazy. Like at least at the big venues, you drop $12-$13 for a beer, they'll give you a goddamn big boy.
24.
But like they're literally giving you something a little bit bigger than that, and it's like fuck. So Kid Rock's a goddamn saint. Kid Rock for president.
One of his guys was telling me that he also just went into Walmart and paid for everyone's layaway. It was like 90,000 people's layaway.
Dude, I would do shit like that.
Yeah.
No, my goal when I get, if I ever get like stupid rich, I want to pay my enemy's rent. That's what I want to do so bad.
Dude, buy their house.
Oh, that would be so sick, dude. Send their kids to college, like the dude,
your kid's smart because of me.
Like the dude in eighth grade who made fun of me that turned me into me.
Yeah.
Like just pay for his kids to go to college. Yeah. That would rule so hard.
Ramon.
Yeah.
That would you just live in his fucking head.
Oh yeah. No matter what. No matter what. Like if he's fucking his wife, you fucking your wife on my bed, dude. I bought you that bed. Make your wife come with my sheets. They're soft, aren't they? They're really adding to the experience. Well, that for you, dude.
When do you raise the rent?
I don't. I make his calendar year. No. I make his life so good. Like I make his life amazing.
So he has to be salty?
Yeah, he has to just like everything he gets, it's because I allowed it.
Yeah. Damn, dude. Daddy Andy.
Daddy Andy. That's definitely the life I want to get to.
Spiteful richness.
Oh yeah, I want to ruin people's lives through my generosity. That's 100% what I want to do. I can be an evil bitch.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. You fucking push me, I get really in my head, like I'm justified in being a psycho.
Yeah. I can fucking do anything
I want. You really could ruin neighborhoods.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Go to like an okay neighborhood and you open a $1 liquor store.
Yeah.
Oh my Christ.
You just take the hit. You just lose money.
You just subsidize, yeah, the slow downfall of that community.
And you could probably ruin a 5-block radius in a year.
Nice. Mm. I could be the first rich white guy to ruin poor neighborhoods.
Yeah, it's reverse gentrification.
You could be the first guy to ever do it. Yeah, the first one.
The Philly dream.
Yeah. Woo! Yeah, dude, you put a liquor store that sells shots on the corner of any of these streets, they're turning back to old Brooklyn or Manhattan. It's
oh, my God. Yeah, town. I'm talking like...
You take away the fee on check cashing?
Yeah. I'm talking like the big bottles of MD 2020. Yeah,
dude.
Oh, man.
Dollar everything.
What, yeah.
One of those stores where you just put like, you give them $2.50 for a 40, and you're like,
we don't keep any of the Hennessy behind the counter. All the Hennessy, all the Ciroc is still on the shelf.
Dude, hey guys, real quick, happy new year from our friends over at Manscaped. The ball has dropped, but that doesn't mean yours need to stink. You guys know what Manscaped is. They are the leader in below-the-belt grooming, and we have a great deal for you. When you head over to manscaped.com and use the promo code REALASS, you're going to get 20% off and free shipping. And I just can't overemphasize how great the stuff they have available for you is. They have the Performance Package 4.0, where you're going to find their signature lawnmower 4.0. The advanced skin-safe technology reduces cuts and nicks on your delicate parts. It comes equipped with a 400K LED spotlight that will shine a light to the promised land, and it works in the water, so you can use that SOB in the shower. They also have a bunch of great gels and deodorants and sprays, and they also have a kit for your nose and ear hair. Manscaped.com absolutely packs you with everything you need to be groomed and beautiful for a wonderful 2023. So head on over to the website one more time, guys. That's manscaped.com, where you're going to get 20% off and free shipping with our code REALASS. It's time to feel sexy and free this 2023 with our friends at Manscaped. Let's get back into the show. I was telling this story to somebody the other day, and I can't remember if I've ever done it on this show. And I know I repeat myself, by the way, guys. Sorry. Did I ever tell you guys a story about how I realized a bunch of the stores in my neighborhood are fronts?
No.
So when I first started dating my wife, we were walking around Bay Ridge, and we were walking down 86th Street, which goes like across Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And it was a Sunday, and we realized it was like 4:40, and 5 is the cutoff on liquor.
Yeah. On Sunday?
On Sundays.
In Bay Ridge.
In New York.
Yeah. Oh, the whole damn state.
Or in the city, at least.
Yeah.
That's a lot of areas. Yeah. Sunday's got an early cutoff.
So... We go, all right, then if we see a liquor store and we're walking, we'll stop it. We're walking down 86th, and we see this shitty little liquor store. And we had never really been there before. It was like a part of Bay Ridge I'm not really used to. And I go to open, it's probably like 4:50. I go to open the door, and it's locked. Like, oh, fuck, they closed early. Then this little lady opens the door, and she goes, sorry, door is locked because cat will get out. And then lets us in and doesn't say hello.
Yeah.
Just kind of lets us in. And from the outside, it looked like a fully stocked liquor store.
Yeah.
We get in. I grab a bottle of Smirnoff off the shelf, and there's nothing behind it. And we realize every single bottle was the only one. So they had one of everything, but angled in a way that it looked like a fully stocked liquor store.
Like if you were outside or not really paying attention?
Yeah. But they only had one of everything, no price tags, and I take it up to the counter, and the lady opens a drawer, pretends to use a cash register, and takes cash out of the drawer, and just charges me like, you know, 25 flat.
Yeah.
No change.
Yeah.
And then locks the door behind us.
Yeah. Did she go, she pulled her cell phone out, and she just starts going, beep, boop, beep, boop.
And then locks the door behind us. And I was thinking, I was like, dude, we interrupted a murder.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The whole time you guys were buying liquor, there was a guy with a gun to his head. Yeah, there were three guys with gloves, like, pulling body parts, like, to the back, and they just froze.
Yeah.
The whole time, they're just like, get something.
Don't breathe. Yeah. Don't breathe.
There was a guy in a chair, tied up, with a gun to his head, with one bead of sweat dripping off his nose.
Yeah.
Well, they were like, don't say a fucking
Yeah. One of those guys is going to catch it when it hits the ground. He can't make any noise.
I don't know about where you guys are from, but I would say one out of every four bodegas where I live, I'm pretty sure they don't sell anything. Mm. Like, I've never seen merchandise move in or out of it.
That's why I'm afraid.
Like, the same dusty shit has been there in the 12 years I've been in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
pack of Maruchan noodles.
Yeah. I grew up in the suburbs, so it would have to be some, like, Ozark shit.
Yeah.
There was, like, one place, I think, that had, like, but yeah, there would never be, like, that much shit that would, like, point to that.
There's so many, and they're just covered in dust.
Yeah.
They're all old products.
Yeah. There was one house on my street that I thought was a kill house. Because, like, nobody ever lived there. And, like, if you look it up, it's only, like, $200 online, like, to this day.
You also grew up in Detroit, though.
Yeah.
Most of that state is $200 to this day.
No,
I know. Being silly. Dude.
Why would you do that?
Nah, dude. Danny Brown's from Detroit. You know I got love.
Come on, dude. Real ass
niggas. You know I got love. Yeah.
Or there'll be a place where there's, like, seven Arab dudes in a circle talking, and then you walk in and they all stop talking.
Yeah.
That's Detroit.
And they just watch you walk back out.
Yeah. That's what happens when I walk into a room and white people are talking. They're like, oh.
That's not true at all. We're excited.
No.
I've never seen white people more excited for anyone.
No.
That's what I always tell. That was the funniest part of Skankfest, is trying to talk to you for more than 5 seconds, and then some fucking white guy who looks like my cousin is just like, one more! They fucking run at you like the like a fucking bowling ball.
It's 10 white guys running at him. It's a reverse bowling situation.
Yeah, gotta knock them all down.
By the way, great show in Philly a few weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
Considering there was a fucking hailstorm out.
Yeah.
It was pretty goddamn good.
That was so fucking cool.
Yeah.
I just hung out at the show. And then at one point, we went to go, like, smoke a cigarette. And then didn't the lady show us around real quick? Yeah,
just a little bit.
And just, like, for a second.
Yeah, she showed us, like, the arena and shit. Yeah.
And I just stood, and I stood there and just looked at him, like, it was at the ECW arena. And I was like, oh, those were the original lights. And, like, I had a whole nerd moment where I was like, this is so fucking cool.
I just pointed to random spot. I was like, RVD did a Van Damminator right there. Sandman drank beers right there.
You were like throwing out random facts that you weren't sure about. You were like, oh, that's where the Dudley Boys always walked out.
That's where Mikey Shipwreck died.
Whipwreck.
Whipwreck.
And he's alive.
Shit.
Yeah, sorry, buddy.
You got both wrong.
Yeah. God damn it. I wish he was dead. No. No, I was thinking about Mike Awesome. No.
Yeah. Lemaire has this amazing thing of really sticking to a fact he made up.
Dude, that's where
he digs his heels in hard.
Dude, that's like half of the podcast is like Lemaire saying something and then us for 20 minutes deciphering like if he's just saying it or he means it. Like remember you and me were going back and forth about just some technical thing about the podcast and then he said something and I just go, that doesn't make sense. And he literally goes, he's like, yeah, you're right. I was just trying to be confrontational. I'm like, don't do that. Just don't do that.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm surprised after seeing all that stuff with fucking Spike Dudley, how he didn't get paralyzed. I was like, I think everyone else is just a fucking pussy.
I think he's one of those dudes that's like built different.
Yeah.
He's got to be. Like that famous clip where the Undertaker just standing in the ring and throws him to the ground.
Yeah.
Outside of the ring.
And his head hits the table, right? Is that
there's
that
a, no, that was the
that one had no table.
Yeah.
No, that was the Undertaker one. That was brutal. You're thinking of La Resistance.
Yeah.
Gave him the double power bomb and he missed the table and his head just took a chunk of the table out.
Dude. He almost got $1 million baby.
I don't know, dude. I've watched some of these guys try to get around. Like, I did a show with Mikey Whipwreck a few years ago, and the description of his morning process to be able to get out of bed was brutal.
He's like, I gotta grab my arm supports.
Well, he's got shit next to the bed to get up and get out, but then he's got like heating pads and this, and he's got like gotta do that. Like, it sounded rough, dude. Yeah.
I always knew, you know how like you can conceptually understand something and then you like get a certain bit of info and it like really like hits you more and it starts to make like more deeper sense. When I was watching, what was the Undertaker doc, The Last Ride?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like saying he legitimately to get ready for like a 15-minute match at Mania towards the end of his career, it'd be like months of preparation. Yeah. Months of preparation. And like that hit me where I was just like, oh, fuck. And then like that, and also one time I hit a genuine like flat back. So, nice. Like, for anyone who doesn't watch wrestling, it's, like, just when you fall, it's to fall properly on your back so you don't fuck yourself up more than you would.
Throw those legs up?
I tried. I did my best. I did okay. I got an attaboy. But, yeah, I just did that, and it was just, like, in that moment, it, like, made more sense where I was like, oh, this is crazy.
The first time you hit one, you go, ugh.
Yeah, it's the it's the weirdest feeling.
Yeah. Fuck, I don't know if I'm telling stories out of school here, but... I had a few buddies that were on creative over the years at WWE, and he told me watching Undertaker get ready for a match was the saddest. It was a Johnny Cash song. Like, he said he watched, and I don't know if this is public knowledge, so I feel shitty, but he said he watched Undertaker's doctor give him cortisone shots between each knuckle.
Damn.
Yo.
So he could go out and move his hands.
Throw those Taker punches.
That's insane.
He does that for us, dude. Or he did that for us.
Well, that creates this like weird conflict in your head as a wrestling fan where you're like, part of you appreciates that, but then part of you is just like, am I demanding too much?
It's like that football. When that guy died, he didn't die, but
he's alive, when he got hit,
he's
still kicking.
When he got knocked, when he died on the field. when he got cardiac arrest, they're saying now
he had blood on his lungs, and that's why they turned him over.
Yeah. Is that what it was?
I don't know, but I think he took a bad shot and then. But I was reading that he had blood on his lungs, and that's why they turned him over.
Yeah. Oh.
Poor guy, man. That's a fucking rough... Concussions are no fucking joke, dude.
No.
And the more that I meet these deathmatch guys, and they'll tell me how bad they... Like...
Yeah.
That's a rough trade.
No,
dude.
I have my wife's cousin husband. Like, he has some condition where he gets, like, concussions all the time, and then...
Is
like,
it the CTE? More,
I forget what it is. Okay. It's a... Sorry, I don't know sports. I'm trying to make a reference.
Is it called a big ass bitch complex?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, he's got silly head.
Yeah, you mainly get concussions from having like a little pee-pee. Yeah. Dude, no, imagine? But he's got this neurological thing where he'll like, if he like gets up too quick or does something, he'll like pass out, fall, and like he's ended up getting a lot of concussions, and like it just compounds itself where he'll just get like crazy headaches out of nowhere and like all this other shit.
I get to stand up too quick, falls downs, but that's because I'm fat.
Yeah, that's because
one of the guys that trained me had to retire because of concussions, and he got hit in the head with a softball at his daughter's softball game, and he had to go home and sit in the dark for 3 days.
Damn.
Oh, I've heard. Yeah,
because you get light sensitive. That's why Foley. I heard ask people that like you don't see Foley on a lot of video podcasts.
Yeah,
because he asked you to turn out the lights.
Yeah.
Oh, like if he was in here, this would fuck him up, right?
Yeah.
Does he have CTE?
Oh yeah, I mean well. Yeah, obviously.
Bro, he's got every combination of letters you can imagine.
I've heard he's finally like talking about the shit that's wrong with him now, because it would be like a bummer.
Yeah,
and it's rough.
It's a bummer.
I've heard him say that everything sounds like it's underwater all the time.
Oh damn,
concussions are fucking. I don't know. Have you like? I've known a few people with CTE. And it ain't good.
Yeah.
They just kind of veer off sometimes.
Yeah,
I think we're going to learn more and more. But, dude, I read a fucking thing. And if you guys in the booth could look this up, somebody was talking about, well, you know, it's so great the NFL didn't continue that game. And I agree. I think they should have stopped the game after the guy essentially dies on the field.
Yeah.
And somebody went, well, you know, the NFL, you know, give them the credit. But this is also the same organization that tried to argue that when they were paying damages, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, about no, I'm listening.
When they were paying damages to older players who had received dementia from concussions, they tried to argue that it was harder to prove that black players lost cognitive function because black people started with less cognitive function than white people.
That's crazy, dude.
And there's an NPR article about it.
Roger
Shannon,
Goodell,
if you could
this?
Look it up. Shannon, could you bring that up?
Is that Goodell?
This one was written by Roger Duke.
I found an article on AP News that says that retired black players say NFL brain injury payouts show bias.
And what year is that?
2021.
Ho! They stopped doing it last year.
Jesus.
Up until 2021, they said there was a bias in how much black players versus white players could receive for loss of cognitive function because black people are dumb.
Yeah, it says, under the settlement, NFL has insisted on using a scoring algorithm on the dementia testing that assumes black men start with lower cognitive skills. They must therefore score much lower than whites to show enough mental decline to win an award.
That's fucking crazy. Well, I feel like...
Is that some deconstructed banana pudding? Or
what? Is that how they view black brains, banana pudding?
Hey, y'all, what you eat?
Yeah, just wafers and bananas, dude.
It's just a bunch of gumbo up there. My brain's nothing but a big old soup.
But think about that. If I had told you, yeah, the NFL used to say that black people had less cognitive function than white people, so they deserved less money in buyouts, you would go, oh, wow, you know, the 60s must have been crazy. And you know, 2021.
I'd even give them, like, you know, the 90s, the early 2000s.
Oh, yeah.
No, yeah.
Once after OJ, you'd be like, oh, no, they're crafty.
Yeah.
Damn, they did that after George Floyd. Dude. Yeah. After all that shit, and they're putting in the goddamn end zone and racism and all that shit.
Ladies of the booth, that's wild that was 2021, right?
Dude, they just, oh my. Well, you see how, too, like, the way they maneuver is just all about, like, all about fucking money and getting the fucking product made and shit like that, because after the dude got hit, they're like, oh, that dude just collapsed and he's not moving and his whole team is crying now. I'll give you guys like 10 minutes and then you better get back on the fucking field. And they just like, they readjust. Like, that's why, I don't know. That's why I feel like it's good to give them pressure, because they only readjust when people are like, yo, what the fuck?
But that's the soullessness of corporations. They don't actually give a fuck.
No, that's the thing. That's why whenever they do that shit, people need to stop being like, good. It's like, no.
It's not good. They're going there so you keep spending money.
Well, I said that in fucking like in 2020 after like George Floyd and all the protests and riots happened and stuff. And then you magically go on like Amazon Prime, and there's like black voices. And it's just like, dude, oh, giving a fuck about black people's trendy this year?
Yeah.
That, it's like, in the movie section.
Dude, it's going to stop. It's going to stop. It always stops. Being black is trendy for like 5 years and then it goes away.
Yeah.
It always happens. Remember, there's always like every decade, there's 5 years where it's like so many black sitcoms that get canceled and you're like, all right. And
then you're saying it's 5 years on, 5 years off.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
In all fairness, the NFL really did figure out the perfect way to get strong black men back in the field. The fact that they call it the field. All right, I'm proud. I'm proud of that segment.
I'm about to go DEFCON 3 on the fucking NFL. All
right. So, Andy, I actually feel like we're going to connect on this one.
Sorry, I'm just thinking, I was like, damn, LeBear's going to have a radicalized conversation on the car ride home with me. Damn, I made that joke this morning. I was like, how you doing, Brother LeBear?
Yeah.
But he's legit, brother. He's going to be Brother LeBear today.
Yeah, give me my neat glasses.
Didn't expect me to be the one to inspire that either, huh? Fucking progressive ass Zach Amico. Yeah,
dude, motherfucking Roger Goodell think black people are too stupid to get dementia money.
Hey guys, today's episode is brought to you by YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo. If you're into Kratom, YoKratom is the only place where you can get a full kilo for just $60. They have all your favorite Kratom strains, amazing customer service, and you won't find better prices anywhere. So if you are over the age of 21 and into Kratom, go to YoKratom.com, home of the $60 kilo, an official sponsor of the Real Ass Podcast. Let's get back into the show. All right. So I will say this. We got a video here. And we're talking about the singer of a band.
Okay.
Greatly considered a one-hit wonder.
Okay.
I would say a two-hit wonder.
Mm.
And not a bad band, but has definitely gotten shit. Alien Ant Farm.
I would call them a 1.5-hit wonder.
Because Movies was a banger.
Yeah, they had some song. They had some good tunes.
Movies was a banger. And I remember Movies had two different videos, because I think the single for Movies came out first. Then they came out with the cover of Smooth Criminal.
Yeah. They had that one song where the video was like a live action Brave Little Toaster.
Like, and all then the appliances they did another video for Movies that was like much higher budget, I feel like.
Okay.
And scrapped the first one.
That's happened before. I feel like bands, when they get a little popular, they'll redo some shit.
Yeah.
Sum 41 did that.
So Alien Ant Farm singer charged with assault after grabbing male fan's hand and putting it over his penis. To me, this is just good rock and roll antics.
I mean, dude, pre-2010, that's just goofing.
Yeah. That's just guys being guys.
That's goofing.
Yeah, some dudes get head on stage.
I go to hardcore shows where if you get punched in the face, you're the dickhead for responding.
Yeah.
I would love to just touch a dick. Don't isolate that.
Okay, if a band got famous when the American Pie movies were happening, you can't get mad at them for this.
No. Yeah.
They're just reliving their glory days.
Yeah.
But let's see the video. Maybe it's horrendous. Maybe it's like a real
crime.
Just
him fucking a guy's face.
I don't even know what song this is.
That's goofing.
They're going to show it again in slow motion.
I don't think that's goofing. Wait.
Yeah, he's fucking around.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's fucking around. Come on. Yeah. That's like Manson getting in trouble for rubbing his balls in that security guard's head.
Yeah.
Come on. That's what they do.
That's goofing. Yeah. That's goofing around. Also, you're seeing Alien Ant Farm in 2022. Maybe you have bigger problems to worry about.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to grow the fuck
up. Okay, not only that. Let's break it down for real. You're seeing Alien Ant Farm in 2022. Or 2023, depending on when this video was taken.
Yeah.
45 days in now. You're in the front row. And you're reaching your arm out at the singer in a Christ-like way. Yeah. You've taken some lefts when you should have taken a right.
It was safe to assume you wanted to grab his dick.
Yeah.
That's the, like, you're the
one. And you're singing along with the singer of Alien Ant Farm.
You know he's in the crowd like this.
Michael Jackson lyrics. Reaching your arm out. Unless he was the little kid from the video.
Ow.
And he was asked to be pulled on stage to relive his glory days and do the dance.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's fucking nuts. I give him. Shannon, is there more to the story?
Yo, he's being charged with battery.
He's being charged.
Yep, he's being charged. So the guy that this happened to, 2 weeks. This happened on October 29th, and then 2 weeks later, the guy said that it just wasn't sitting well with him, and spoke to a lawyer about it, and then they were able to find this video, and so yeah, they are pressing charges against him.
That guy was like, "Excuse me, I'm no gay, but I'm no gay, but he made me touch his dick, and it's been bothering me. I need you to help me."
Oh, it's like, dude,
can you legally prove I'm not gay?
Was it soft or alien or ant firm?
And the man is a 45-year-old man, and this took place in Miami.
Pussy.
He's filing the court order. He's like, he did some alien ant harm.
Oh, dude, Miami people hate gay shit. He was probably Puerto Rican. He's probably Cuban.
No, not an dude. Alien ant farm show.
They hate gay shit.
It was an illegal alien ant farm. Dude, we're fucking riffing.
Yes, dude.
I say fuck that guy. Fuck it. That's just silliness.
Well, that's like one of those dude situations where you either fucking yell at him or try to fight him or do something like that in that moment.
Yeah, and you don't wait. You don't let it stew for 2 weeks.
And if you don't, you lost.
And what else like happens when you like? What else happens before that in the video? It's yelling out like Alien Ant Farm. Let me touch your dick. Like you don't know what's happening before that.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't. In a world where R. Kelly, not that many years ago, could go on stage and hundreds of women trampled each other to grab his cock. Mm-hmm. Is this really that fucking bad?
It's not bad at all. It's like, that's a joke. That's a joke you do to friends.
I hope he not only gets nothing, I hope his punishment from the judge is that he has to touch everyone's dick on the way out the door.
Everyone in the courtroom.
He has to shake, like, but like the way you do peace be with you at church, he's got to just, just shake everyone's dick once.
Get a new belt in jujitsu, you go down the middle and they're all nut punching.
It's they slap you with their belt sometimes?
Sometimes.
And Jason Ellis did that to me with his dick.
Yeah.
He slapped me in the fucking butt with his dick.
Did you pretend to hate it so he kept doing it?
No, it fucking shook me.
Yeah. He got hog, right?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
He had some fucking weight to it.
Wait, where did he hit you?
In like the side and the butt.
Oh. Without you, like, were you like,
he ran up behind me and cock slapped me.
That's hilarious.
It's not, so his dick is big. I'm not saying it's a gigantic. But if you put his dick in a glass of water, I feel like it would displace all the water.
So he's a glass half full dick?
There's a glass empty dick.
Oh.
There would be no, like, if he put his dick in a glass of water, when he pulled his dick out, it would be an empty glass.
That's what, okay. I wasn't listening. I was thinking of a joke.
All right, so, we actually have, while we're in the territory, I think we actually have an episode, and I'm going to have the wrong opinion about this, as everyone knows, of rape dicks.
Ooh.
Rape dicks. Rape dicks. Rape dicks. Rape dicks. Rape dicks. Rape dicks.
All I know is ball and good. Rape.
All right, so I read about this recently, and we'll go into another story. If while we do this, if you guys want to bring up the story that the actors from the, I believe, 60s version of Romeo and Juliet are suing the production company for showing them naked at 16 years old.
What?
from the 60s movie. They're both like old people, and they're trying to sue the estate of the director.
I'm getting tired of these
but
people trying to
I was fucking... thinking about that, so we're going to make that an additional rape dicks. But this rape dicks. Steven Tyler.
Aerosmith?
Accused of having sexual relationship with 16-year-old and forcing her to get an abortion.
When was this?
Exactly. First question, very important.
Because
the way that headline reads, it sounds like last week.
Yeah.
Because if this was in like the 70s, we're going to have to arrest every single rock star you've ever loved.
It's 1973.
Yeah, dude. Go to Elvis's grave right now.
Yeah, we're just going to have to cancel all music then.
Yeah, literally it was a part of the music industry. You got a platinum record, you got a 14-year-old wife.
Yeah, dude, if you got into there and they were like, and you were like not into kids, they'd be like, get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, they'd be like, hey, dude, fucking go check out these kids. Maybe you'll like them.
Yeah, go fucking screw, granny fucker.
What, your wife is 20? Pussy.
So yeah, it's 73. This chick is coming out now, Shannon?
Yep. So she said that she first met Tyler just after her 16th birthday at a 1973 Aerosmith concert in Portland, Oregon. Tyler, who was then around 25, allegedly brought her back to his hotel room where they chatted about her age and troubled home life. He then performed various acts of criminal sexual conduct upon her. They had a relationship, and so he flew her, you know, to wherever he was, which was crossing state lines, which then makes it a federal crime. And at one point, he spoke to her parents and were trying to get them to, like, sign her over to him so that he could just, like, take care of her. But she says that he never actually followed through with that. And when she turned 17, she got pregnant with his son and said that he ordered her to get an abortion after an apartment fire, insisting the unborn baby was suffering from a lack of oxygen, which an allegation dismissed by a medical professional. So, but he said that he would cut her off completely if she didn't get the abortion. So she ended up getting the abortion, left him shortly after, and then moved back home to get back to her life.
Sounds like she got cut off.
What?
Sounds
like she turned 17.
Yeah. Man.
That was the best part. Fuck, who's the guitarist from the Rolling Stones? Not Keith Richards.
Your mama?
Yeah.
Mick Jones?
It is Keith Richards, right? Mick Jagger's the singer.
Oh, yeah. That'll.
Yeah, Keith Richards. There's my favorite part. I was reading his book, and my favorite part of the book is when he's talking about when they first got famous, and there'd be all these, like, teenagers coming up trying to get him, and he's just like, he's like, the other guys, they got into that. It just never made sense to me. And I'm like, did it? Did it not? He's just like, it was in the middle of the 60s or 70s, and you didn't need to fucking worry about it, and just, like, you were the only one who wasn't fucking... But that's kind of, like, to my point, I was, like, thinking about listening to what Shannon was saying, where it was just like, yo, if she can fucking get him legally, fucking have at it. But also, it's just like, if you're trying to get me to be like, I'm never going to fucking do this or that, I'm just like, well, then I'm not going to be able to listen to music.
Yeah, if you want to break it down, a bunch of rock stars adopted their girlfriend. Ted Nugent did it.
Elvis, you said Elvis earlier, didn't he do something?
I think a number of people have adopted their chicks because they were too young, so they could take them. It wasn't so they could fuck them, it was so they could take them across state lines.
Mm. And like have them travel with
and
them.
Fuck them. Yeah.
And then fuck them.
And fuck them. But okay, if this is a controversial statement, please forgive me. When you say he was 25, takes a whole lot off of it. Then he's just kind of a creepy 25-year-old dude.
Yeah.
Also, I think after a certain, when you go in the Wayback Machine, every 20 years or so, you should be able to knock a year off. Like every generation or so.
Yeah.
And how old is 18 really? Like I'm saying in the 90s, 17 probably okay.
Yeah.
The 70s, 16 ain't that bad. Didn't David Bowie fuck around with like a twang,
twang? Oh, I think I see what you're saying.
Twang, twang.
So like nowadays it'd be 19.
100%. Nowadays it's like 19, 20. I think girls just got older then.
This guy got good math.
This is her then. That
nope, that's just Steven Tyler twice.
Yeah, that's fucking Helena Bonham Carter.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
Were they trying to out-heroin each other?
Yeah, that girl, you're telling me that. That's what I'm saying.
Wait, that's a 25-year-old man.
Yeah, and she's 17.
Nope, those are two 68-year-old people.
Yeah, those are the old men from the Muppets.
Statler and Waldorf.
Like, oh, you make me get an abortion.
Dude looks like a lady.
Does she have any more kids? Because a 70s abortion is like a uterus cleaner.
Yeah, yeah. In his
whole shit out.
Yeah, it's a whole deep cleaning. Nah, in his defense, that looks like a full.
I'm saying when you see pictures of a 16, 17-year-old girl in the 70s,
well, yeah,
that's an old lady. Now when you see a 16, 17-year-old girl, that's a little child.
Yeah, and you can even take it back to like the 1800s. You're dying at like 26.
Yeah,
so you got clapped.
I feel like every generation, more or less, there is a cutoff point with it. Because you can't go after, you know, certain, you know.
Yeah.
Sure, maybe in the 17, 1800s there was sayings like old enough to bleed, old enough to breed.
Damn straight.
No. Yeah. Grass on the field, fuck that kid.
No, actually, it's grass on the field, play ball. If there's no grass on the field, flip it over and play in the mud. I got to say, man, I can't really have too much sympathy.
Yeah.
For the situation, and it feels like a money. Like, why now?
Yeah.
After all this fucking time.
Her great grandkids trying to go to college.
Like, is she hard up? Is there. Because I think he talked about it in a book. So maybe there's hard evidence of it now because it was in a book.
He did mention in the book about having a relationship with somebody who was underage.
Oh, and then the lawyers got to her?
Yeah, I don't know. It doesn't say why she's choosing to do it now.
It just seems crazy because it was just. I feel like nowadays, a girl that young shouldn't be backstage at a rock and roll show by herself.
Hold on, don't ruin the fun. Hold on, dude. Maybe the boys are just trying to have some fun, bro.
But like, or when you read about like 13-year-old girls in the 70s sneaking into nightclubs.
Yeah.
I feel like that's not happening now.
No, it happens.
13?
It happens, dude.
That's wild, dude.
There's some fucking... I got in trouble for saying this before, so I won't say it exactly the same. But there's some fucking, there's some 13-year-olds out there.
Listen, I remember Catch Me Outside, girl.
What did you say? I don't even know if you said anything.
I'll say it.
Look, I said it's a shame that some kids grow up in their ass and titties first instead of their brains.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I mean, if you get in trouble for this, I disagree. But I was just watching the Shaq documentary, and he was like 9 feet tall in fucking third grade.
Yeah.
He had no choice. He's playing basketball.
Yeah. Like that.
Like you're just playing basketball, dude. Yeah. If you're that fucking tall, that young.
You ever saw the picture of that kid that just went viral? The 12-year-old kid with a mustache and tattoos or whatever.
I'm still not convinced.
Yeah.
I need a video of him talking for 30 seconds straight and like asking questions to be like, can you explain a mortgage? It's crazy.
I don't know. I just have this mustache.
Yeah, dude. It's what was the movie? Benchwarmers?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, this kid.
That's future, dude.
Yeah, that kid fucks every girl in 12th grade or 8th grade. He fucks high school girls.
Can you imagine being like me or you, Andy, at fucking 12 and having a shower next to that guy?
Mm. The disappointment.
I can fit it in my mouth.
We're soaping up with two fingers.
Yeah.
He's playing Whirly Bird. Fucking
yeah.
Oh my god! Is no, I'm just spraying Axe body spray on myself in the corner.
Hey Andy, can you hurry up and get out the showers? I got a finger, Miss Johnson.
Oh, my fault.
Zach, can you hurry up and get yourself out of here? I gotta fuck the next teacher too.
I just can't. I feel like 16 in the 70s, man. That's just fucking. That was just good old rock star fun.
That was just good old rock star goofing around.
Yeah, and it's all the way till now, and it's he's an old man.
Well, yeah, that part of it,
and she's an old lady.
She's a fucking old bitch.
She waited longer than the AFI guy.
Yeah, the alien ant farm.
Yeah, AAI
not guy. Not merch AFI.
Yeah,
but and Shannon, did you find the thing I was talking about with the actors from Romeo and Juliet?
Yes, I did. So it's Olivia Hussey and Leonard Whiting. So the movie came out in 1968. They were 16 and 15 years old. The suit alleges that, I guess this is the director, Zeffirelli, who died in 2019.
So the director, Zeffirelli, he told them they were going to shoot the love scene in Romeo and Juliet with nude bodysuits on, right?
Yeah.
Then a few days before they shot, he was like, about those nude bodysuits. I really think it's going to affect how the picture does. So I really need you to do it.
We don't have naked kids. This show movie's gonna tank.
And then he said to them,
well, he said nude with body makeup.
With body makeup, yeah. Thank you. Then the day of the shoot, he's like, so the way we're gonna angle it is you don't see anything. And then they saw the movie. By the way, they could have. I mean, there were dailies then. I think
Shannon, can you find the scene?
No, because we're not gonna look at 15-year-old titties on the podcast. They show
it's
one of her
art, after.
They
that.
Show his.
Don't worry, after.
Yeah. They show his ass like pumping, and they show her titty.
Yeah, that's gross.
And I don't know how they got away with it.
What and year so was they're it?
63.
Wait, they put it in the movie?
It's in the movie.
It's art.
To quote the Key and Peele Gremlins 2 sketch, it's in the movie.
It's art, though, dude. You can't censor art. Don't well, they censor probably, art.
I remember watching this in, like, 10th grade.
Yeah.
This was the Romeo and Juliet they showed every English class.
Yeah.
Well, they probably got away with it because it was Hollywood in the 60s or 70s, and they were all just like, oh, that rules.
But Romeo and Juliet supposed to be teenagers?
Yeah, they are teenagers.
Not that it makes it any better. Actually, you know what?
Oh,
it was the fucking same. Going by my rules...
It's
that
fair.
Was just, that was an old couple.
You know what?
Yeah.
By your rules, 1800s, that's like four. They could have fucked at 12 and you would be happy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So now they're charging him with child pornography, right?
Yeah.
Or distribution of child pornography?
Mm-hmm. What?
And they're saying that they suffered mental anguish and emotional distress in the 55 years since the film's release and are seeking damages believed to be in excess
$500 million.
Of $500 million.
What was the, which is emotional anguish and distress?
Yeah.
For 55 years?
Mm-hmm.
Haven't they had successful lives?
No, both of them had very bad acting careers after the movie.
No, but that's not their fault. I mean, that's not the fucking guy's fault.
But yeah,
he was right, though.
500 mil.
He was right. It didn't affect the picture. It made the picture their best movie is that movie.
Yeah, but
and it was pretty good because they fucked.
You don't think having your like 16-year-old titties out for everyone to see maybe have swerved you a little? Made you not be able to perform?
I don't know. What about Drew Barrymore?
She didn't show any titty. And wasn't the only underage girl I think that's been in a movie is Thora Birch in American Pie, right?
Yeah.
But they covered her up and her parents were on set.
Yeah.
Wait, which one was she?
She's the girl covered in the am I wrong?
In American Pie?
Or is it, no, American Beauty.
Oh.
Oh
no.
And it's not Thora Birch, somebody else.
Is that where is American Beauty the one where they're like laying on the bed and there's like the rose petals?
Yeah, that's the
what
rose
about
petals.
Weird Science? Isn't that an underage girl?
No, there's she's much older. Those are teenage boys in Weird Science. No, she's like,
oh, it doesn't matter that way.
Yeah, no,
it doesn't
that,
count that time.
That rule when you're a woman and you rape a little boy, that rules.
Unless yeah, you're a teenager.
Yeah.
You ever bag an older broad?
No, I wish.
No.
I wanted to.
I almost did, and then I was like flirting with her, and then she had the same name as my mom, and I started like dirty talking her, and then said my mom's name, and it was really fucking weird. I was just like, nah.
There's something about mom names. I remember meeting a girl named Alice.
Yeah,
and that's my mom's name, and I would be like, I could never come and be like Alice.
Yeah, yeah. We were like flirting, and she said something. I was just like, knock it off, Linda. And I was like.
Oh, Linda. That's such a my mom's best friend is Linda, by the way. That's
by the
awful.
Way, Mina Suvari is the one from American
Thank
Beauty.
You.
She was 20.
Really?
Yeah.
Then what am I thinking of that the parents had to be on set? Was it Thora Birch's parents were in a sex cult?
No.
Maybe it's her and something.
Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Mila Kunis was like 14.
Yeah, Mila Kunis was 14 in the first season of
That 70s Show.
That 70s Show.
And they were making... I forget, what was the joke with her? No. It was Eric's sister. They kept calling her a slut. Yeah. Mila Kunis was supposed to be...
She wouldn't give it up.
She was an uptight rich chick. That's what her thing was.
And then, she started giving it up, and then Eric's sister came in.
Yeah.
By the way, I feel like there's a lot of unanswered questions with this That 90s Show.
What's your unanswered questions, dude?
I feel like these kids at some point are going to have to be like, hey, where's dad's sister?
Oh, yeah, she died.
She died. Yeah, she died of overdose.
Didn't they replace her?
No.
They did replace her. They changed her.
Oh, but the one that they replaced died, right?
No. Yeah, the one they replaced died.
The one that... I said that wrong. Yeah.
Okay. And then also, isn't it weird that we met all of mom and dad's friends except Hyde?
He's probably dead too. Him and his sister went off and got married and died.
Was it Kelso that married the black chick?
Kelso, no. Somebody married the black chick.
Hyde married the black chick.
Yeah, because he's black. In the show, he's black.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he's black in the show. His dad was a record store. Yeah, a record label.
The funniest one was when they kicked Roseanne off the Carters.
The Connors.
Connors. Yeah. And then, like, the next season, they were like, yeah, where's Roseanne? They're like, oh, that bitch OD'd. Anyway, let's go to the show.
Perk alert.
They just wrote her off, like, that quickly.
Well, I mean, it was a running plot line on the first season that she had a pain pill problem.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, because she kept putting off knee surgery because they couldn't afford it. I loved it. I want to watch the first season.
The
first season was a banger.
I heard it was amazing.
It's called Roseanne Season 9?
No, it's called
The first season of The Connors is Roseanne.
Yeah, it was a new season of Roseanne. You're right.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Dickhead.
Hey, I've been calling it The Carters the whole time, even after you told me the name. So I'm fucking.
The writers on the first run of Roseanne, when you look at them, it's like a bunch of comics we really would be pumped on. I think Norm wrote on it.
Yeah. Oh, no shit.
It's Tom Arnold. He was on it.
It's like when you find out Conan wrote on the good seasons of The Simpsons. You're like, that makes sense.
Yeah. Did you ever watch the documentary on the Dana Carvey show?
No. I was thinking of I was thinking about Richard Pryor show. No. Bill Clinton. Yeah.
Bill Clinton with the titties. Yeah.
You're the one who made me. You're the one who made me want to watch it. I still haven't. but yeah, I remember I watched the trailer for it and I was just kind of like, whatever. And then I remember you talking to you and you were like, no, it's fucking good.
It's good.
Yeah.
Because he was like, they wanted to cancel us every single time. Like, they wanted to cancel us every day.
Well, they kept moving them around. They kept fucking with them. Shannon, can you do me a favor and look up the cast of the Dana Carvey show?
Dude, the writers. Robert Smigel, Louis C.K.
Dino
Santamatopoulos. Dude, that guy's funny.
Who did like Starburns. Moral Laurel? He was Starburns on Community.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Starburns is the man, dude.
But if you want to look up the cast of the Dana Carvey show, it's when you look at it and you're like, this show failed.
Yeah.
It's fucking nutty.
It was a funny
the
show.
The writing team was Louis C.K., Charlie Kaufman, John Glazer, Dino Stamatopoulos, Spike Feuerstein, Robert Carlock.
And could you give me the cast?
Yes. Steve Carell, Stephen Colbert, Bill Cott, Elon Gould, Chris McKinney, Heather Morgan, Peggy Shea, Robert Smigel, and James Stevens III.
Yeah, it's a bunch of famous people.
Yeah.
All what year was it?
Yeah, Steve Carell, Steve Colbert, Robert Smigel.
Clinton years. I can't remember exactly.
And
when.
It was on like Fox or something?
No, it was on NBC.
Okay, so that just sounds like
it was on ABC.
ABC, yeah.
Which was the problem.
Yeah.
96 ABC, which is the problem, because I think they wanted to do it on Fox. Then ABC outbid them. But then I think ABC didn't realize what they were getting, which was like a weird subversive show.
Yeah. That's not...
And there's this great clip where they make all the people on the show watch one of the ads for the Dana Carvey show, where it's an ad for an episode of Home Improvement.
Yeah.
And then also the Dana Carvey show. And it's like, this week on a very special Home Improvement. And then it's Jonathan Taylor Thomas going to Tim Allen, Dad, I have cancer. And they're both crying. And then it goes, followed by Taco Bell presents the Dana Carvey Variety Show.
That sounds like it should have just, like, it worked better now with streaming. Because, like, what's the, I Think You Should Leave. Mm-hmm. That's like the funniest fucking show right now. But if you put it, if you put a show like that prime time on ABC in the fucking 90s, it would bomb.
Yeah,
it would probably bomb. Like if you smash that in between like fucking a Two and a Half Men type show that they have right now.
Oh yeah. No, that's like
that shit would bomb hard
because it's not for people who watch
TV.
Like, yeah. My mom thinks Alton Brown is too weird.
Really?
Which one's that?
He's straight. He's the fucking host of Cutthroat Kitchen. Yeah. He's strange. He's strange, Zachary. It's something with him. I don't trust him.
He's like a freak bull.
Yeah. Can you imagine like subversive comedy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
On ABC at fucking in 96.
Yeah, just a guy with a belly button, this shirt, the pool shirt.
The first sketch.
Dude, like even like the weirdest fucking people definitely watch I Think You Should Leave. Yeah. And there's definitely sketches where they're like, huh? What the fuck?
Shannon, could you bring up the Dana Carvey show Bill Clinton sketch?
Oh,
and we'll just go towards it. This is the first sketch, the first night. This is how the show opened.
This is his Clayton Bixby.
This is his Clayton Bixby. This is his tone setter.
That's so funny.
You said go towards the end.
Oh, yeah. You can bring it back a little? Yeah, there we go. There, right there is fine.
Without Hillary, I can be both father and mother to our nation. And this isn't just talk. I've taken this a step further. With the employment of estrogen hormonal therapy, I have developed the ability to breastfeed. Let's just take a look here. Let me open up my shirt so you can see what I'm talking about. There, every little baby. There you go.
And just skip forward a little.
Just drink up. Not too hard there. Just suck. I know this is
the opening skit. It's on it.
Feel your
prime time.
Yeah. Dude, 96 on ABC.
With this milk. Get down there, baby.
Get down there, baby.
That's right. I will feed the world.
He has teeth like a dog.
Oh, but he got puppies.
But actual dogs.
Some kitties.
Dude, that's like weird for now.
It's leaking milk at the bottom.
Yeah, there's milk coming out of it, and they're holding it.
Puppies looking at his milk.
And look, I've had myself surgically fitted with a hand's ass. So, with these warm, downy feathers, I can give presidential reward for these hatching eggs right here. Well, thank you very much. Now watch this thing.
That's the opening moments of the show. It tanked so bad.
Dude, you know there was like a Midwest mom in 96 that just shot herself in the head.
They thousands of phone calls and letters.
Yeah.
What do you call... Maybe it's just because I
talk about the president.
Maybe it's just because like I'm into fucked up shit. I seek it, and like I don't know. Maybe I've changed my barometer, but I'm just like, it's the because like my parents are like can be very milquetoast about shit, but even they have told me they're like, yeah, I just change the channel, or I just like it's not for me, and I move on. It's like the fucking thing where it's just like I need to stop this. That is the most foreign concept to me.
It's out there, buddy. I grew up with it.
Yeah, no, I believe it's there. It's just like, it makes no fucking sense.
I grew up with a very big fear of the other.
Okay.
Of otherness. There was a, I don't have to get too far. Let's just, I was not allowed to watch All That.
Is it too black?
I wouldn't say that, Lemaire.
Damn, dude.
It sounds like it was the fact that it was any black.
Yeah, dude. There's like three black people on All That.
So when I was a kid, I tried to wear my hat backwards because Bart Simpson wore his hat backwards. And my dad took my hat off my head. And when you're with me, the hat goes forwards. The hat's a tool to keep the sun out of your eyes.
Yeah.
If you put the brim backwards, you're using a tool wrong. And in this family, we use tools right.
Yeah.
I don't want you walking around looking like a rapper. And I knew what rapper was code for.
Speaking about that, I got to tell you a Kid Rock story after this.
Please, no. Why not this? Go ahead.
I can't do it on this.
Oh, okay, good.
Patreon.com/PITM.
I like that a lot better. Actually, let's call it there. Thank you so much to my wonderful guests, Andy Malverina.
Thanks for having us, Zach.
Thank you, Zach.
Please check out Panties in the Mouth, patreon.com/PITM. Support the boys, all right? Thank you to the ladies in the booth, Nat and Shannon. And we will see you next week here on the Real Ass Apodicast.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
That's all, folks.